You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, folks, we're going to be shifting gears a couple of times over the course of the remainder of the program tonight. We're scheduled to have Brother Nathaniel on at the bottom of this hour. But first, we're going to transition from what we spent the entirety of the first hour discussing, which was Missouri and Paris, respectively, and take a look at the Muslim invasion of Europe as a whole and how, of course, situations like what happened in Paris will only become much more common unless Western man returns to his senses. And I said in the first hour that we need another Charles Martel. We need to pray that Western Europe will find another Charles Martel, that Eastern Europe, Poland, you know, those countries will find another Jan Sobieski. We need crusaders. And, you know, we were talking a little bit, Eddie.
Yes, sir.
About Ole Miss. You mentioned Ole Miss. You know, they've, of course, taken down the flag. They've changed their mascot from Colonel Rebel to a black bear, appropriately enough. They're still called the Ole Miss Rebels, but their mascot's a black bear, whatever sense that makes. I didn't know Mississippi was necessarily bear country. But.
And, James, as we mentioned, it's never enough.
Well, here's the point. Well, of course it's never enough, but here, this is why I bring that up, because it's not related to, of course, the invasion of Europe, which is going to be the topic of this segment. There is a university, and this actually occurred a few days before Missouri, that whole outburst. This is a small university in Pennsylvania called Susquehanna University, a small private liberal arts university, Susquehanna University. Well, interestingly enough, their mascot has always been a crusader. And in fact, the name of their university is the Susquehanna Crusaders. Well, of course, about a week or two ago, somebody woke up and said, you know what, that's very offensive. I'm very offended by crusaders, because that makes me think of white Christians, and that is offensive, and we can't be associated with that. And so the school said, you know what, you're exactly right. We agree. Totally offensive name. We're going to change it. Do you know what they changed it to? Eddie doesn't know this story, so his reaction is going to be authentic. But this is perfect. This perfectly showcases the heart and mind of white people right now. And of course, that's what this show is here for, to try to correct this flawed, sick, disgusting, they're really mentally ill. They went from the Susquehanna. Now, what would strike more fear in an enemy, an opposing team? The Susquehanna Crusaders, a very strong, righteous name. No, they changed it to, they are now the Susquehanna Squirrels.
Well, they're
look it up,
squirrely.
Folks. The Susquehanna Squirrels. And that really is, I mean, that really is the a squirrel. Really has about the same temperament as most white men now. And I think it's perfect.
I could not agree more.
So tell us what's going on in Europe, Eddie. We posted a video the other day. You sent me a couple of articles that we'll post next week at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We posted one video. It looks like a scene, I think I mentioned this last week, from the AMC's The Walking Dead. You literally have tens of thousands of Muslims flocking in to Germany. It's an invading army, and the men of the West will either push them back or they will be wiped out. They're going to lose their countries. You gave me a couple of stories this week, Eddie. The headline reads, migrants riot in Germany. Riot in a German church, steal from stores, defecate on gardens. They're murdering pets. They're raping. And of course they are. Break down that story for us and give us a little more detail about now that they're all being rerouted and going through Germany now. Of course, to his credit, Viktor Orban of Hungary put up a fence. And guess what? They're not going into Hungary. But they are going into Germany. They're going into Paris. They're going into these other places. What's going on in Germany? A little more detail.
You're exactly right. I remember those articles all too well. I will try to break those down. You're right. The hordes of migrants are coming into the small German villages that we read about. This article in St. James. And it's true. They're defecating in the streets. They're defecating in people's yards. They're invading homes. They're invading churches. I don't remember if we talked about this on the last show, but they're actually invading churches, disrupting church services. Well, the way some of the German white people have responded is they've just they've given their churches to the invading, marauding hordes. And they're not all Syrian. They're coming from all over the Mideast and the Near East. And that's the way they've responded. They've given them free food. Listen, the German people have actually been kicked out of their own houses to make room for the migrants.
And what did you tell me, Eddie, that they're going to start conscripting? Tell the audience
this,
about that.
This article, the next article I'm going to talk about, people, I promise you I'm not lying. I promise you it's not a joke. I'm not making this up. The powers that be in Germany says that they're going to try to pass a law that to constrict young German people, you know, teenagers from like high school to college, and they can have their choice. They can either go into the German military for a year or two, or they can go in and do social work for who? For the Muslims. They can come in and work and serve the Muslims.
I mean, Germany should be conscripting an army right now. Unfortunately, they are. And this is how it's being used.
I don't know how to compute that. I'm saying, are these people, are they that far gone? Like I asked Sean Bergen on the last, when he was here, I said, are these people really that spineless? Do they have no manhood left whatsoever? Will they bow to anything? Is there any line in the sand that they will not they refuse to back down from, or is this policy coming from the government? But people, think about that again. Think about that. These people are coming in and totally overrun the country. These Muslims from all over the United States, they're saying, where is my car? Where is my apartment? And they might as well be saying, where is my white woman? Because they're raping 10-year-olds. James and I, during the break not long ago, talked about they raped a 10-year-old. And James, I think you told me that the stiffest sentence they got, one of them got 17 months.
That was the harshest of the sentences. Now, I don't know if that happened in Germany, if that was in one of the Scandinavian countries, but it did happen recently.
Same thing.
But
really.
It did happen recently. And, of course, that's not at all uncommon. And they got convicted. And the stiffest sentence was 17 months for raping a 10-year-old girl.
What do you think would happen, James? I'll ask you a question. What would you think would happen if one of them had a dad that was had the temperament of you or I or Sam, and they put an old Louisville slugger on the dude's head? I mean, if they caught him in the middle of a rape, these people are so screwed up over there. I believe if the guy took a baseball bat and brained the Muslim that was raping the 10-year-old girl, he would have probably gone to jail, James. I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, I mean, he might have offered the guy a drink and a towel and see if he could done anything to make him more comfortable. No, I mean, obviously what's going on over there. But, you know, they are getting – it's the time has come to protect our families and preserve our cultural and racial and spiritual integrity of our homelands. These Muslims and invaders smell weakness and fear in the enemy, and it's aroused his confidence. These people have no one to blame but themselves. They have got to stand up and regain – and remember who they are. When we come back, Matt the Copperhead's on the line.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand, and then you can work on improving it and take the test again And oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor Score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, we have Matt the Copperhead on the line. We're going to get to him in about 30 seconds. But first, Eddie has a final comment to make about what we were talking about in the previous segment. Go quick, Eddie.
You know, we talked about over here in Paris, the same thing happened in Oregon where the terrorists got people up and they shot them in the back of the head one at a time. There wasn't a single finger lifted. Here's what Oath Keepers is doing. We talk about solution. Oath Keepers is going around to college campuses here in the United States, and they're teaching students, willing students, to teach in self-defense, hand-to-hand self-defense, how to defend yourself with a knife, how to defend yourself with a handgun, God forbid. So the Oath Keepers, the only organization I know in the United States that are actually trying to combat this, and I think it might do some good.
Well, and one thing that has to be said that hasn't been mentioned yet, and it's very important, is, of course, that all of these Western nations, at least currently, are under if not complete, you know, certainly a disproportionate amount of influence is being exerted on them by Jewish power. And so you have to be objective when you say we're over here and we're blowing up. We've been blowing up the Middle East for years and years and years on behalf of Israel. So you can certainly understand not why these actions were taken necessarily, but why Muslims who do understand that we're under this control would want to seek retribution. Now, that being said, you obviously have to put them in their place. You obviously, they've always been savages. They've always hated white Christians. They've always hated the West, and they always will. But at the same time, my solution is you disinvest, you put the best interests of your nation first, not the nation of Israel. You put the best interests of France first, the best interests of Germany, America, etc., not Israel. And you withdraw from there, let them sort it out, and of course, you certainly expel the Muslims, and you keep them from coming in.
Quick comment. James, you're exactly right, son. We never had any problem with Muslims until after 1947.
Well, except for the whole Crusades thing when they tried to wipe us out.
Well, in this country here, until the country of Israel.
You're talking about America, right?
Yeah, until the country of Israel went in there and kicked the Palestinians out. And so, we've been bombing them ever since, you know. Well, glory be. You know, we're dropping napalm and white phosphorus on their mamas and grandpas and their uncles and aunts and their kids. I can't believe they hate us for that. So you're actually exactly right. Stop defending Israel, right or wrong. Get out of these countries. Come in our own borders. America for America. Let Israel fight it out to the death.
If that's what they think they need to do. And you are right that in America there wasn't a great deal of historical grievance with the Muslims, of course, but they've always had, conquest on their minds of Europe, and now they're getting it. All right, go Copperhead.
Hey, guys. James Eddie, what's going on? It's Matt the Copperhead. Calling from North Carolina.
Thank you. Copperhead, it's great to hear from you tonight. We're doing fine.
Great to hear from you guys.
Good to hear from you, Copperhead. Good to hear you. Always good to hear from the Copperhead.
This, what you're seeing in Europe, what happened in Paris prior and going on, this is nothing but yet another golem created by international jury and the likes of Barbara Spector, Abe Foxman, ADL, and other elements to repopulate Europe with non-whites. And it's blowing up in their face, and they will see it. And my prediction, Europe will be Judenfrei within 5 years at this rate.
It remains to be seen. I mean, we have to see if our people are going to grow a pair and start safeguarding the interests of their family first. But the day will come, perhaps, when simply deporting these people would be the moderate course of action, if things don't resolve themselves quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. This will come to a head where Europeans will have to make a choice of how they're gonna grab a hold of the horns and secure their future. But we see I forgot her name, but there was a Jewess that was a former Stasi operative back in the 80s who was appointed by Merkel to be the overseer of all dissent, especially on social media and Facebook, to anything against the so-called migrants that are coming over, resettling in Europe and Germany, where it will be a crime so shortly to talk out against these migrants, just like it is a crime to deny the Holocaust.
Well, I think in Germany there already are punishments for, of course, hate speech, so-called hate speech for objectively critiquing the results of completely washing your nation away, having these people completely wash away what makes a nation, which is its blood and soil and its racial makeup.
Yeah,
and
it's insane. It's just insanity. But you look at the people, look at the names, and look who they actually are. It doesn't, it doesn't take an Einstein, if you would, to figure it out.
I certainly agree.
What's up with this Mizzou thing? I'm just getting looking into it and stuff. What's the gripe here? What's the grievance? What's the beef? I don't understand. Fecal matter SWAT sticker. I mean, the other day I was in a truck stop in North Little Rock and saw striking resemblance of fecal matter to the hate monger Al Sharpton. Am I going to be offended at that? I mean, it was uncanny, the resemblance.
Well, I'll tell you, we spent the better part of the first hour, at least half of the first hour, breaking down the Missouri thing, and I think we even started off this hour with a little bit of a follow-up. So if you missed any of the first hour, we really document that. We're going to have some stuff on the website Monday or Tuesday.
We need ourselves to grow a pair and tell these people where to go and how to do it. God bless you guys. Eddie, James, all the best.
Matt the Copperhead, one and only. Thank you, my friend. And again, if you are tuning in late, you or anyone else, we did cover Missouri, and of course everybody knows what's going on in Paris, but we offered our take on it as well. In the first hour, go check it out in the archives. It'll be posted sometime shortly after we go off the live broadcast tonight. The archives are usually available within a couple of hours at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Well, there was so much I wanted to cover tonight that we had planned to cover all the way up until yesterday afternoon. And, of course, when breaking news like what happened in Paris occurs, everything just gets pushed. And a couple of the things we had intended to talk about tonight, which are going to be completely pushed to next week, I was somewhat excited by Donald Trump's appearance on Saturday Night Live because of the fact that he got on there and mocked racism, mocked the allegation of racism, which is exactly the prescription that I wrote in my book, Racism Schmacism. It appears as though the Trump campaign is effectively putting that plan into action. But it also proves another point. You know, these people at NBC, they've made a lot of money off of Trump with The Apprentice, but they're certainly not his ideological fellow travelers. But it does go to show the point I've been making for years. When I say that most people in almost all corporations, they have no core, no inflexible positions whatsoever. And once our ideas become fashionable and of importance to them, profitable again, everything else will fall in line. These media whores that think, you know, they're doing the thing, these chambers of commerce across the country that think it's the financially expedient thing to do to tout the Marxist line. Hey, when we become popular again, and we are gaining in popularity every day, our ideas, once that happens, they're all going to fall in line. Don't worry about that. And by having Trump on and having him mock the accusation of racism, that's supposed to be sacrosanct to them. But they let him do it because they knew he would get huge ratings, and he did. And then I really wanted to talk about Ben Carson. This whole thing, I've never seen anything like what's going on with Ben Carson. He's mad at the media for calling him a liar. And what they're doing is the media said they can't find any of these people he said he attacked when he was a young man. He, you know, supposedly stabbed three different people with knives. And in each case, the blade of the knife broke each time on a belt buckle all three times. That's pretty bizarre. And he also claimed that he beat his mom in the head with a hammer, and they couldn't prove that. There's no hospital reports. And he said, you know, how dare they call me a liar? I promise I did beat my mama in the head. You know, he didn't say it in exactly those words, but he's upset with the media for calling him a liar. And they're basically saying, no, we can't find any evidence that he attacked these people and beat his mom. He said, oh, yes, I did. Don't call me a liar. This is what they always go after conservatives. I really wanted to break down that, but we'll have to do that next week also. But still much more to come tonight. Stay tuned.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Oh yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
I'm really excited to welcome back our featured guest for the evening right now, Brother Nathaniel Kapner. It's been far too long since he made his last appearance on this show, and as everyone knows, and as I've made mention before, he was Bill Rowland's favorite guest, hands down, bar none. And anytime Bill was filling in for me when I would travel, it seemed as though that would be a night that Brother Nathaniel would be on. And of course, Bill has been called home by the Lord. But it's great to have Brother Nathaniel back with us. Of course, everyone knows him from his sensational YouTube videos. He has, in fact, become a YouTube sensation because of his willingness to deliver frank commentaries on certain quote unquote taboo issues. And he is, in addition to other things, a Jewish convert to Orthodox Christianity. And, you know, Brother Nathaniel, we post or repost some of your videos, I would say at least twice a month at our website. I really respect and admire your work and the way you deliver the message. It's great to have you back on tonight.
It's great to be back, my brother. And we miss you, Bill. Pray for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the most recent videos I posted from you was Why I Believe in Jesus Christ. And it sort of documents, I guess, your journey from where you were to where you are now. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that and culminate that? Yeah, go ahead and start.
My favorite subject, James. Yeah.
Well, take it away, my friend.
I will. I was brought up in the synagogue, Hebrew school at an early age every Wednesday, and every Friday went to Sabbath services with my parents. Every Saturday morning, Sabbath school. So I was inundated with the whole Judaic venue. But I always felt something was missing. Something is empty here. And every Christmas, I preferred going to my Christian friends' homes rather than my Jewish friends' homes for Hanukkah, because I knew they had something that we Jews didn't have. And one of the things I saw that the Christians had was wholesomeness. I didn't see that in Jews. I saw neuroses in Jews, but wholesomeness in the Gentiles. So I felt that the Christians had something that we Jews did not have. Well, it all came to a head in my bar mitzvah class when we studied all religions. It was the comparative religions class, so that we could know why we as Jews were better than all the other religions. So we studied Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Baha'i, Zen, everything. But when it came to Christianity, I'll never forget it. My teacher, Mrs. Schechter, she was built like a bull. She got up from her desk and she stood up like a bull with her arms out. She said, "Children, we're not going to study Christianity because it's just a bunch of fables made up by a manic, depressed, and self-hating Jew named Saul, who hated his Jewishness so much that he changed his name to Paul, because he didn't like to be known as a Jew with the name Saul." So I'm thinking to myself, I really wanted to study this religion. I wanted to know more about it. And here she's just passing it off as a bunch of fables. I was a pretty smart kid, and I thought to myself, 2,000 years of Christendom that shaped Western society, and she's passing it off as a bunch of fables? And I didn't even know what a manic depressant was. So I go home to my father. I said, "Dad, you know, here we're studying every religion under the sun. It's coming to, now it's time to study Christianity. She saved it for last, but she won't study it because she says it's a bunch of fables." And my dad looked at me and said, "You were born a Jew. You will die a Jew. End of subject." I go, "Wow. Okay, well, I thought maybe the rabbi will have a little more open-mindedness." Okay, so I'm visiting my grandmother at the hospital, who was in for some surgery. And then I'm in the foyer downstairs waiting to go up to see my grandmother. And who comes down but the rabbi? Just when this is all happening, I said, okay, I'm going to talk to him about this. I said, Rabbi, you know, Mrs. Schechter, she won't study Christianity. I mean, we really should learn about Jesus Christ. And this wasn't premeditated. It just came right out of my mouth. He then spits on the hospital floor. I was shocked, James. The rabbi spits on this hospital floor.
I bet.
Yeah. He says, don't you ever name that name again unless you use it as a curse word. I said, wow. I mean, come on. I mean, if we can't even study the claims of Jesus Christ or the claims of the Christian church, then something's wrong here. What are they afraid of? I never forgot it. And I was just a kid. I was like 13. So we were forbidden to read the New Testament. So I went to college in California. I was born in Pittsburgh. And I chose a college in California so I get as far away as possible from my home, far away as possible from the synagogue, so I could study Christianity myself. So I opened up the New Testament when I'm in college. And I thought it was a Catholic handbook. I thought that's what the New Testament is, a handbook on how to use the rosary beads, go to confession. Instead, it begins with the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I go, what? This is Jewish. I couldn't put it down, and I fell in love with Jesus. I really did, especially how he nailed the Pharisees. I said, get him, Jesus, and get the rabbi, and get Mrs. Schechter, too. So Jesus became a hero. He really did. And I was convinced he was the Messiah, because in the Gospel according to Matthew, St. Matthew keeps on saying that everything Jesus did here, did there, did this time, was to fulfill the prophecies. And I knew the Old Testament pretty well, and it just all came clear. It was like a light bulb going off. It says, yeah, that's what that prophecy means, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And here he is. He was born in Bethlehem. So to make a long story short, I was convinced just by reading the Gospels, and I got down on my knees and asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And then I called the rabbi up. He says, Rabbi, I found the Messiah. He says, hold on a minute. He says, I'll call you back in 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, my mother calls me and says, you're crazy. You're going home. The rabbi says, you're having a mental breakdown.
Wow.
See, this is, they can't reason, okay? They just can't sit down and argue intelligently, okay? And that's the problem. My father ended up going to the rabbi because I did a pretty good job of convincing my dad. He goes to the rabbi, and he comes home. He says, all the rabbi could do was slander my son, saying that I was crazy, that I was nuts, that I was having emotional problems. He could not sit down and give me a reason why these prophecies weren't true, because I had written all the prophecies down for my father to talk to the rabbi about. Anyways,
brother,
that's the short version, James.
I want to tell you something. That was probably the most enjoyable commentary I've heard on this show, if not ever, at least what I drew from that in a long, long time. I mean, you come in here and you talk about a lot of hard issues and a lot of issues that are very upsetting. And that's the nature of politics, and that's the nature of a political talk radio program. We do try to encourage and be inspirational, but I hope that my audience felt what I felt while listening to you convey that story. I was absolutely engrossed. And, of course, that's one of the reasons we've had you on in the past, because you are someone that I hope that people will support and will go to the Brother Nathaniel Foundation, at the very least, become regular viewers of your YouTube channel. But that was just an incredibly Eddie. We have my co-host tonight, Brother Nathaniel, is Eddie Miller, and I think he felt the same thing, Eddie.
Yeah, Brother Nathaniel, what a delightful man you are to listen to. Brother Nathaniel,
you made my night. You did. You made my day.
Well, this is the truth. I didn't know what you were going to say.
Brother Nathaniel
had an idea.
Reminds me of white Jesse Lee Peterson. Jesse Lee Peterson, if you're familiar with him, Brother Nathaniel, was a former Black Panther. Are you familiar with him?
The Black Panthers, I remember that fellow went to Africa and came back, became a Christian.
Well, you know, Jesse Lee Peterson was born in Alabama. He's a black minister now. And if you listen to him, he has the most gentle, loving spirit. He's always happy. He reminds me so much of you. I've got such a wonderful feeling. Listen,
but the similarities are, of course, is that he is an honest black man who actually defends.
There's no hate in them.
The interests of.
Okay,
of,
here's the thing about this hate deal. Okay, the Gentiles, not all of them, but a lot, they write to me and say, "Why do you have all this hate? Why do you hate Jews?" And I say to them, "You know, it's funny because the Jews don't accuse me of hate. Not a single one of them. They accuse me of being a traitor." But they do not accuse me of hate.
Well, this is where we're at.
All the time saying, you can come back into the fold. You're welcome anytime because you're, like my dad says, you were born a Jew. You will always be a Jew. You have the Yiddish spark in you. And you can come back if you do teshuva, which is repentance. I say, no, there's nothing to come back to. Judaism is absolutely bankrupt.
Brother Nathaniel, we're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. We'll be back with more of Brother Nathaniel right after this.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I am convinced and made the determination during the last commercial break that if he's willing, we'd like to certainly have Brother Nathaniel on much more regularly on this program to showcase.
I'm all for it, James.
promote your work and listen, just to have you on and say, Brother Nathaniel, please start talking. And just to hear you, a great story. I mean, you that was a great, not only was it a great story because of the content, but you conveyed it so well. Truly a great storyteller.
And thank you.
Well, I want to ask you a very quick question, and then I got a follow-up question, and then Eddie's got a very important question. How can people learn more about your work, and how can they contribute?
Well, they can go to my main website, because I don't just do videos. I do articles, too.
Yes, you do.
I think they're cutting-edge articles where I get to the core, the marrow of issues. It's called Real Jew News, and just Google Real Jew News. You'll come right up to it, realjewnews.com, and you'll see a list of all my current articles. Here's my latest video, Bad Future for Jerusalem. Then right behind that, I just put an article up this week, TPP. It's a Jewish affair. And then I have Will Turkey Invade Syria, and I give all the ins and outs about Turkey and what that's all about. And then I have a video, GOP Warmongers Shill for Israel. So go to Real Jew News, and you'll see my donation venues. Donate PayPal, donate Click and Pledge, donate by mail. And it's I'm a 501c3 nonprofit organization because it's educational. And I was able to get that through because of a very good accountant that I used. And that's where you can go and see what I'm doing. And
well, that sweetens the pot. That certainly sweetens the pot. Not only can they donate you and help keep your work moving forward, but they get a nice tax write-off. So that would be tax exempt, and or you get the deduction, rather. So Real Jew News, realjewnews.com, and you can learn all about.
Yeah, that is a great website. I've read many articles there. That is a dynamite website.
He's got the articles. He's, of course, got the videos and on YouTube. And you were talking just a moment ago, Brother Nathaniel, about...
Real easy to read, okay? They're not real thick, and they're pretty short, and they get your attention. And I illustrate them. They're not just print. I illustrate the articles. So go to Real Jew News, and you'll enjoy it.
Articles and videos, however you want to process your information. And when we have him on the radio, you can get it. Well, I guess you get it with the videos, too. You get the visual and the spoken word. And then, of course, you can read it. However you best process your information, you can get it at realjewnews.com. And you were talking about the slurs and the insults that are attributed to those of us who do engage in truth-telling, a very precarious hobby. But it's hate. It's anti-Semitic. It's vile.
It's like your commercial, you know.
Well, if you're
against Obama's policies, you're a racist, okay?
Objectively,
if you want to maintain a white Christian complexion in America, you're a racist, okay? If you're against this deluge of immigrants, which is an economic situation, okay, then you're a racist.
Well, who, and of course, this
who calls you the racist? It's the ones who control the media. Who controls the media?
I got to jump in for a minute, Brother Nathaniel. You are a direct descendant of Abraham. You know, the Gospel of John, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the scribes. And he told them that, he's asking them, I'll paraphrase, he says, why do you hate me? I'm a man. I've come to tell you the truth. He said, this did not Abraham. He said, Abraham foresaw my coming. He was glad. Brother Nathaniel, I think you're a direct descendant of Abraham. You're a real Jew. You're not the Jew that they mention in Revelation. It says the Jews that say they're Jews but are not Jews. And with that, Brother Nathaniel, I'd like to ask you a question. You know, I think I agree with you that Zionists, and not only Jewish Zionists, but we have Baptist Zionists in this country, big time. Why do the Zionists, especially the Zionist Jews, why do they allow their arch enemies to come into this country, into other European countries? Well, seeing how the Zionists...
This is all planned, okay? This doesn't happen. This is not happenstance, okay? See, growing up in the synagogue, after the Sabbath service on Saturdays, first we had Sabbath school, then the Sabbath service, my father would take me upstairs to the B'nai B'rith meetings. Okay, all the Jewish men were there in their Brooks Brothers suits. Do you think they were talking about the Torah portion that the rabbi gave for the sermon? No. They were talking about how they can put this one in as mayor, this one in as councilman. The elections are coming up. Who's going to be the next senator? What are they going to do about the next presidential election? who's going to be good for the Jews. I heard this as a kid, James and Eddie. I was just a young, impressionable kid, and this is what I heard the Jewish men talking about. It was total politics, no religion, but it was all around the umbrella, what's going to be good for the Jews? That's all they cared about. Okay, so this whole thing about bringing in third world country people, this started in the 60s, and it eventuated in what is called the 1965, the open immigration law of 1965. It's also known as the Hart-Celler Act. Jews were behind this, pushing, bribing, blackmailing, whatever they do with their money. And that's what they do with their money. And they got Ted Kennedy to get behind this. And the biggest pushers of this was the American Jewish Committee. And the reason they wanted to bring all these third world immigrants in, without quotas, mind you, they could bring in their third, fourth, fifth, sixth, tenth, 13th cousins. Okay? That's why today when you go to your major cities, you see a lot of Muslims. Because they've grown up since 1965, a lot of the young ones that came in. Now, the reason that the Jews have done this is to dilute a white Christian complexion and consciousness in America. That was their aim. Now, the secondary aim, because they saw what was going to happen with this situation, the need for a intense security state, which the Jews control. Yeah, they got Jay Johnson in charge, and they had that lesbian in charge. What's her name? I forget her name already. It was before Jay Johnson. She's now a dean at some college in California.
Of course.
She was the governor of Arizona, and they put her up as the head of Homeland Security. Now they got Jay Johnson on in there, black guy. He used to work for Goldman Sachs. They control the security system here in America. So for two reasons, they brought in all these immigrants to dilute Christian culture and Christian unity and to create a security state, which they control. You better believe that this guy who was the first head of the Homeland Security, why can't I think of his name? He started that, Chertoff, Michael Chertoff. You
right.
believe that Michael Chertoff has still got a big foot, his whole body in Homeland Security, him and Lieberman. See, Jews never don't retire. Lieberman said he retired. He didn't retire. Jews don't retire when they have all that kind of control and influence. Those two still control Homeland Security.
I wish we'd had you for a full hour tonight. When you come back in short order, we're going to have you for a full hour because I believe we're just really scratching the surface here. But with regard,
James, I can just look at a headline. I can see Jew behind it. Okay, I just have to look at the headline. I knew this whole TPP thing where corporations can overrule sovereign governments. I knew this was a Jewish thing, and I saw who was in charge of it. Okay, Froman, a Jew.
Well, let me ask you this very quickly, because we only have about 2 minutes left, and I think this drives home to the point that Eddie was asking. Have they thought this thing fully through, though, in your opinion, Brother Nathaniel? Because we were talking about the attacks in Paris. You're bringing in, of course, they have a disproportionate amount of power and control, not only here in America with media, government, all of our institutions of power, but also in Europe as well, especially Western Europe. Bringing in these Muslims, allowing these Muslims to invade Western Europe, I can understand them wanting to dilute the influence of white Christians and so on and so forth, but if they truly get reach critical mass, won't it be bad for the Jews too?
No, because it creates the need for a security state. So you already see what's happening in France. It's going to heighten up the security state.
They must be operating on...
Because
they have to be operating on the
Jewish money because the Jews own the central banks. They control the central banks.
Brother Ted, you have a question.
That's the top of the food chain, the central banks. So governments, sovereign governments, can't do anything unless Jews print money and lend it to the governments.
Well, they have to be working under the assumption that they're going to be able to maintain their power, though, and that they will not be ousted. But go quick, Eddie.
Brother Samuel, Arthur, to your knowledge, do we have Homeland Security camps set up for people when it hits the fan? Concentration camps, so to speak. We've been hearing about the Homeland Security. These government agencies have camps put up for people like us. Is that true? Do you know anything about that?
About these FEMA camps?
Yes, FEMA camps. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Do you know anything about that?
Fact or fiction, in other words.
Green TVs and a Dunkin' Donuts concession in there. The Goyim are going to be very happy.
You nailed it. I'm afraid you nailed it, Brother Nathaniel.
What?
I think you nailed it.
Of course I nailed it. This is my program. They've got this whole thing all arranged. And they always
and then of course
to go to Zion, go to Israel.
That's right. If it actually does go badly for them and they do lose control, but they can always go home. Whereas we can't. This is our home.
Well, they have a security state in place.
Where they have a security state
all over European nations and what was once formerly Christendom, then they go to their Jewish state.
Well, we got to go. I want to remind everybody, realjewnews.com. We're going to be having Brother Nathaniel on much more often. And, of course, they have another insulation. If you objectively criticize anything, you're a hater, you're a white supremacist, you're a Nazi, and then that shuts a lot of people up. Realjewnews.com. Brother Nathaniel, thank you so much.
I love you both.
I love you too, Brother
Nathaniel. Talk to you next time. Third hour coming up next.
Radio Network.
Have to have him on there.